Our government.
Healthcare.
Your government.
The economy.
Bailout.
Global financial recession.
Transportation.
Agenda.
Agenda.
The work that needs to be done.
So this Labor Day Monday morning, the agenda certainly is going to include health care, and we've already talked about that extensively earlier on in the program. So we thought we'd begin with the issues besides health care that are going to dominate the administration when it gets back to work tomorrow in Washington. Joining us, of course, Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning, John.
And from our partner, the BBC, Jill McGivering joins us from London. She's the Asia editor for the BBC. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
So, Marcus, let me begin with you. This whole issue that dusted up over the weekend that relates to the president speaking to a high school in Virginia, giving an intimate speech on educational issues to U.S. school children that has become this huge issue for conservative pundits and talk radio people, and the administration seems to have stepped in it. And then there's the issue of Van Jones, the green jobs consultant on the Council of Economic or Environmental Quality, who had to resign because of what he calls a smear campaign. It seems to me the administration is on the defensive because of some pretty silly media dust storms. What's your assessment, Marcus?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. One of the things to watch this week, John, of course, it is the week of the speech. You know, whether it's, as you mentioned, the health care speech he's going to give to Congress or the speech he'll be giving to these high schoolers in Virginia that originally was going to be played through the White House's website to high schools around the country. It seems we've moved in our country from kind of partisanship, which is something we've known for a long time, certainly most of George W. Bush's administration, to paranoia. And that kind of paranoia, kind of partisan paranoia, I think has really affected the White House, not just in serious policies like health care reform and what it can get, and a very important issue that makes up a huge part of our economy, but even, as you said, in these smaller issues that are, at this point, are affecting even, you know, personnel choices. It's going to be interesting to see how the White House bounces back this week, whether it remains on defensive and actually keeps responding to this stuff, because actually it makes the president look weaker, whether they actually can take some control of the agenda and make it somewhat a rational and reasonable one.
I think you're right, Marcus. And listen to David Axelrod here, Obama's senior political advisor, on Meet the Press yesterday. Do you detect in this tone a sense of grasping the message and taking control, or defensiveness?
I was a little bewildered by it because I think it's an important and wholesome message. There's nothing political about it, and it's a shame that some people have tried to politicize it.
That's David Axelrod referring to the speech before school children in Virginia that will be broadcast nationwide.
Well, I think there's certainly defensiveness there, but I think the White House also plans to release it today, so maybe there'll be more schools that actually will pick it up. But again, it's a disheartening reality of kind of the times we live in right now, you know.
Right. A year ago, the government took over Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, marking the beginning of the sort of bailout meltdown financial difficulties that really began when people came back from Labor Day vacations and suddenly cashed out of their stock portfolios and moved into cash and other vehicles. What are Wall Street investors and the Obama administration worried about going forward this week?
Well, you know, it's going to be we've been going through this on the one hand, on the other hand, market. So on the one hand, you have job losses slowing last week as reported with the August job loss numbers. But on the other hand, you have us reaching 9.7% unemployment, which could at this point even go above the 10% mark that many economists have seen before, even if we have seen the worst of the recession. So this is a problem. On the one hand, you have good news. On the other hand, you always have this kind of contradictory negative news. So even though we've reached the bottom of the recession, it seems, at the same time, it's not clear whether consumers can actually sustain and keep spending for this recession. So on the one hand, market, you now have this dismal, dark anniversary that really shook New York to its core. If we remember what happened a year ago with the failure of Lehman Brothers and the bailouts of Fannie and Freddie, it rocked Wall Street in a way that we've never seen in any of our lifetimes. So it's a really scary place to be. It's kind of like being on slippery rocks this week. So it's going to be interesting to see what the market does. In the middle, on the one hand, on the other hand, time we're in, as it remembers this really dark anniversary. Right. Now, on the one hand, one might decide, we've come out of it really relatively unscathed, given the magnitude and the ampler of what happened last year. So maybe the market will feel relieved.
Well, optimistic caution or cautious optimism, I guess that's probably the rule of the day. Jill McGivering joining us from London. Talk about rocking the current reality. Stanley McChrystal in this remark yesterday, part of his report on what's going on in Afghanistan, has certainly changed the game in thinking about the Afghanistan war. Listen to this.
I think this effort is all about protecting Afghans from all kinds of harm, and so we've got to make every effort to do that.
But the effort does not seem to be working, and there seems to be a review going on in the Pentagon right now, and even more reports from the New York Times this morning that corruption in the Afghan election is going to make it unlikely that a runoff can be scheduled anytime soon. What's the state of what's going on in Afghanistan, Jill?
Well, we've got quite a mixed picture at the moment. You're right in terms of the election. There are these growing reports, very widespread reports, about polling stations where there seems to have been all sorts of malpractice, ballot stuffing and so on, ballot rigging. And that is raising some very serious concerns about how legitimate this process will be and how credible any result is going to be. I put that in the context in which many Afghans would before these elections have said, we're very sceptical about politicians, we don't really trust them, we think there's a lot of corruption in this system. And we don't think that they serve our interests. We don't think that they're accountable. That's certainly the views that I heard reflected to me when I was last in Helmand province last year. So you take that very sceptical environment and then you take an election which seems to be, at the moment, the way things are looking, pretty flawed. It doesn't add up to a very positive, strong view on democracy emerging.
All right, Jill McGivering, thanks so much. Asia editor for our partner, The New York Times. Quick, Marcus Mabry, before we go, will Barack Obama debate Ahmadinejad of Iran? There was an offer today.
I think not.
Okay, good. We'll leave it there. Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, The New York Times. There's the agenda.